Make no mistake, boy. The road you are chasing him down runs only one way. Think long and hard about where you stand. Lee swallowed. He guessed that if he wanted to, he could slip past the circle of sellswords and the spider's men would let him. He wondered if Haytham would hate him for it. He didn't move. He stared up into the shadowy outline of the gray man's face. I have, he replied. It's right here, watching Haytham's back.
What is up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode where we last left off when Haytham goes to the Eidolon to make sure that Amitha is okay. Amitha, fearing for her own life, tries to hand him over to the Greycloaks. I know I was hoping to see those two lovebirds work it out, but if you missed that episode or any other, I will have a link to the full playlist down in the episode description so you can check that out. I'll also have links to a couple of recap videos if you need a refresher on where we are in the story. All right, that is enough from me. Let's get down to the good stuff. I'm Josh Call, and this is Last Colosseum.
Lee didn't go back to Paul's. He stood there in the alley until the brawler had stepped over the unconscious milk chaser and rounded the corner. Exhaustion swept over him, sudden and crushing. All the nervous energy that had buoyed him during the day's events, from the scaffold to the slaver to the river to the black, deserted him all at once. He felt like an old rag that had been wrung dry. He stumbled down the alley, vaguely toward Paul's and his little apartment above the smithy. He wanted to put as much distance as he could between himself and the drain, but down every back street there was another one. He imagined, and who really was to say he was imagining it? The magpie's eldritch gaze staring up at him from the black, full of death and ash and vinegar. He should have killed the old man. He dreamt about it for years after he left, after the nightmares faded. In that first year, it was months before he could sleep more than an hour at a time, and even after Paul had taken him in, he'd perhaps a dozen times woken up screaming with piss in his linens. As his memories of the magpie had faded, and as his hero worship by Sim and the other boys had puffed him up, his fantasies of plunging down into the black and driving a stake through the old man's heart had gradually replaced the nightmares. Only it hadn't gone like that. He hadn't swept Vanna off her feet the way he did in the dreams. He hadn't led the foundlings out singing like the embattled villagers in a fairy story after slaying the dragon. He told himself that he could have killed the magpie if they hadn't had the brawler pinned. Trading the old man for Haytham was the only hope they had for getting out of the Undercity alive. But still, there was a part of him that wondered if the old man had called his bluff, if he'd have had the stomach for it. Even now, after seeing so much death since he first fell in with Haytham and the spider, and indeed helped in the killing, at least around the edges, there was that final threshold that he hadn't crossed. He was afraid to know what was on the other side. And then there was Vanna. He scowled and kicked an old rotted crate to splinters. He could have saved her. He could have saved all of them. The old man had them all convinced that there was nothing up above except danger and want. Lee didn't blame them for it. He'd believed it himself once. But Vanna knew better. She knew better, and she went back.
Boy.
The gruff male voice was a brick through his thoughts. He looked up and his stomach dropped. The keeper's armor glittered like fish scales in the light from his raised lantern. Lee stumbled back a few steps and nearly tripped on the smashed-up crate. The gray cloak held up his free hand to show he wasn't reaching for anything.
Whoa, easy. He hadn't advanced down the alley. Get inside if you can. That rain'll be coming down any time now.
He motioned with his lantern. It made the shadows in the alley dance.
You catch your death out here.
The Greycloak disappeared down another alley, and Lee heard him repeat his murmured exhortation to another drunkard tucked into an alcove. He called an incredulous thank you to the guard, and he heard a few bars of the maid, the mouse, and the meat pie whistled back. He almost made it home before the rain. He just rounded the corner and caught that familiar whiff of beeswax when thunder crackled somewhere in the distance, and then the sky gave way. He didn't mind it. He couldn't smell himself anymore, but after the Undercity, he was sure it wasn't anything good. He stripped naked on the landing outside of his apartment and hung his clothes on the railing. He scrounged for a nub of soap in the apartment and scrubbed himself down as best he could. His room was delightfully warm from the forge underneath, and he resisted the pull of his cot in the corner to catch a few winks before he went to meet the brawler. He threw on his other shirt and breeches and laid his effects on the cot, scrambling to stay ahead of sleep's leaden fingers. He laid out his belt of lockpicks, the Kadari's curved knife, his serrated climbing hook. After a moment's consideration, he untied the wet rope and replaced it with a dry one from his clothes chest. He found a bundle of gauze that Paul had given him for his injuries and stuffed it into his pocket, just in case. He felt something hard tucked into the gauze, and he withdrew the battered little tin of smelling salts. He hadn't used it since before the brawler's arrest. He stared at it for a second, sleep creeping at the edges of his consciousness, then unscrewed the cap and sniffed. The pungent smell burned his lungs and nearly bowled him over. A creak at the top of the landing, and he spun on his heel, brandishing the Kadari's knife in one hand and the salt tin in the other. The door creaked open. The single candle guttering on the sill cast dark shadows across the mercenary's face. It was the one with the black sandpaper beard who had chased off the smuggler on the hardpan. He leaned against the doorframe, inspecting his fingernails, his other hand resting lightly on the pommel of his short sword. His eyes flicked to Lee's face, then his knife. "Put that away before you poke your eye out." He stepped into the apartment, his boot heels thumping deliberately against the floorboards. "He's waiting for you." Lee didn't move. The sellsword sighed. "You can walk out, or I can drag you out." Lee didn't wait to see if he was bluffing. The huge warehouse was only a slight relief from the night chill and from the rain. Lee shivered as the mercenary marched him down the aisle toward the hard-packed dirt ring, trying to avoid the water dripping through the porous roof. His bare feet were like chunks of ice. He was lucky just to have been able to scoop his wet cloak off the railing on their way out the door. Hatham was already there, at the center of the ring with three of the spider's men forming a tight triangle around him, hands on their weapons. Randall was there, his face expressionless, but his eyes shone with a kind of dark glee. The ring was illuminated by a pair of torches on brackets at either end, and the upper tiers of seats were bathed in shadow. At the sellsword's direction, Lee hopped over the wooden parapet and joined the brawler in the ring, while the mercenary slipped in among his comrades. Hatham was clad in a cloak with no shirt. Like Lee, he was soaked to the bones.
"How's your leg?" the thief muttered.
Hatham grunted without looking at him.
"Do you recognize this place?"
came a voice from the darkness. They both looked up. Leaning on the railing of the second tier, the silver clasps on his silks gleaming, half his face in shadow, the spider loomed.
"I thought it would be rather poetic to bring you back here."
Lee looked around. He saw out of the corner of his eye that the brawler's whole body had gone rigid. He glanced up, and though he could just barely make out the rafters of the high ceiling, he imagined he could see a boy in the small hours of his 10th name day peering down through a gap in the shingles. Only it wasn't Elias standing beside the brawler this time, but Lee.
"I made it clear what would happen if you came back," the gray man murmured. "Did you really think I wouldn't have someone watching the Eidolon? And your little snuffbox, boy. And the old girls."
The Kadari hadn't taken his eyes off the brawler, nor his hand off the hilt of his short sword.
"Enitahim afi al-fadach?"
"Not yet," replied the spider. Randall's jaw twitched minutely.
"I should have known better than to offer you another chance," Kingmaker continued.
His head lolled slightly as he regarded the thief, and Lee wondered just how drunk he was.
"He's had a death wish since I've known him, but you, boy, I'd have thought you'd have more sense."
"If you're gonna do it," Hatham growled, stepping forward. Immediately, all the sellswords drew their weapons. "Do it."
"Do not tempt me, Kafasa,"
breathed the Kadari, too quiet for the gray man to hear. Kingmaker waved the brawler off. He was still looking at Lee.
"I'm disappointed, I must say,"
he murmured, savoring each word.
"I'd hoped that you could see the mutual benefit that we might have shared."
Lee scowled.
"What benefit?"
He wanted to say. Kingmaker had cut him out when Haytham did. He'd sent his sellsword to threaten him and then tried to kick him into the hinter like a mangy dog. What he said instead was, "Sure, until you've used up my benefit and decide to get rid of me. Who was that man you hanged in Haytham's place?" The gray man shrugged. One of his hands disappeared from the railing as he played with the corner of his mustachio. "He was a milk chaser and a pederast," he said flatly, "and I paid him well for the privilege. His sons' sons will never have to work a day in their lives. He did far more good dying than he ever did alive." "You're a murderer," the thief spat. All he could see of the spider's face was the white of his teeth when he sneered. "If that's how you choose to see it," he allowed. "I call it good business. Trading the life of someone I don't know, and a scoundrel no less, for someone I do. You of all people should understand that," he added, looking pointedly at the brawler. "That was different," Lee wanted to say. "But," the spider told Haytham, leaning down low over the railing so that his saggy face caught the light, "it's only a good trade if you stay alive." Haytham cursed him through his teeth. Kingmaker's expression soured. "You have no idea what I've put at risk for you." His voice had none of its characteristic amusement. "Everything I've built, and not just once. I saved your life right here." He motioned to the warehouse around them. "The other brethren wanted to cut you into little pieces. They'd have done Amatha too, to send a message. It'd have been the easiest thing in the world to stand aside and let them do it." The brawler didn't answer. It was Lee who spoke up. "Why didn't you?" "Because I made a promise. I took a shapeless little piece of metal, not much older than you, and I told him I'd fashion him into a weapon and give him the world." He stared down at the brawler for a long moment. "You were my favorite, Haytham. You must know that. Letting them cut you would be like sending off a prized racehorse to be ground into sausages. It would be criminal. So, I sent you off at considerable expense and risk, and I wished you well. She doesn't know it, but I gave Amatha my protection as well. I did it for you. And when you came back, I tried to help you. I tried to give you back what I could. But from the moment you came back, you have been dead set on beating out your own brains against the keep walls." He was scowling. "Make no mistake, boy. The road you are chasing him down runs only one way. Think long and hard about where you stand." Lee swallowed. He guessed that if he wanted to, he could slip past the circle of sellswords and the spider's men would let him. He wondered if Haytham would hate him for it. He didn't move. He stared up into the shadowy outline of the gray man's face. "I have," he replied. "It's right here, watching Haytham's back." He tried to catch the brawler's eye out of the corner of his. Haytham didn't look. Kingmaker slipped back into the shadows on the second tier. "Pity," he lamented. "I could have made you into something. It's time for Dach," he added, and the sellswords raised their weapons. "Do it quickly." The sellswords closed in. Lee heard a swish behind him, and he dove headlong across the sandy floor just as the short sword cleaved through the air where he'd been standing half an instant before. He came up into a crouch, fumbling for the curved knife in his waistband. Haytham had caught Randall by his knife arm, and both men were straining for control over the weapon. One of the others slipped behind the brawler and raised his blade to run him through. Lee lunged and drove his heel into the back of the man's knee. He crumpled. Haytham shoved Randall into the remaining mercenary and nearly knocked both men over. The one who'd been knocked down by Lee had come up onto all fours. The brawler took two steps and kicked him in the face, flecking the white sand with blood and teeth and knocking him on his back. An amused groan from above drew their attention. Kingmaker was still hunched over the railing, watching the fight play out like a paying spectator cheering from the pennies. Lee adjusted his grip on the Qadari's knife. He wondered if he could chuck it into the gray man's stupid, saggy face. A hand latched onto Lee's collar and yanked his attention back down. The sandpaper-bearded sellsword was snarling in his ear. The thief shrugged out of his cloak and left sandpaper with a fistful of fabric as he darted across the pit. He vaulted over the low wooden parapet and flinched as the top of the barrier exploded into splinters inches from his head. The sellsword's flung knife went skittering down the aisle. Lee kicked it into the seats as he bolted for the door. He took the stairs two at a time and burst onto the second tier, slamming the door before the sellsword could follow him up. Kingmaker was silhouetted in the torchlight from the pit. Below, Haytham had found one of the mercenary swords, and he and Randall were trading blows near the center of the ring. Even fighting with only a pair of knives, the Qadari was toying with it, needing the brawler's brute strength with countless years of training. Kingmaker was watching them with interest, his back to the thief. Lee charged down the aisle, meaning to grab him by the throat and ransom him for the brawler, as he had with the magpie. The sellswords wouldn't risk anything happening to their master. Kingmaker must have heard the floorboards creaking, for he spun around and swatted away the thief's grasping hand as he lunged. Lee pressed him back along the balcony, slashing wildly with the knife. He saw a flicker of fear on the gray man's face. He felt the balcony shudder and looked back at the stairs in time to see sandpaper thundering toward him. Lee cursed and ducked the sellsword's tackle. Sandpaper's knees banged painfully across the thief's back as he went headlong over the railing. Lee stood up in surprise and sent the man's legs spinning up over his head as he plunged over the side. The sickening thud on the hard-packed dirt made him flinch. He reached for the gray man's throat, but Kingmaker was already gone. Lee's heart sank. He raked his gaze along the wall, hunting for the spider. There! The stairwell door was still swinging on its hinges at the end of one of the aisles. He tore after it. He didn't notice the gray man's boot tucked at ankle height until he was flying. The hardwood stairs rose to meet him. He ducked his head and managed to slam down on his back on the landing, knocking the wind out of him and sending the knife cartwheeling out of his hand. Above him and upside down, the spider sneered from the doorway. He said something as he slunk down the stairs, but Lee couldn't hear him over his own pulse thudding in his ears. He threw a hand out and caught the gray man's ankle going down. Kingmaker howled as he came down on his knees and elbows, and Lee flung himself down the stairs on top of him as he went scrambling for the knife. The gray man drove his knee into Lee's groin, but not before Lee managed to catch the knife off the ground and hide it against his chest. Kingmaker peeled himself off the floor and tried for the door. Lee lashed out with both feet and knocked him flat. He rose gingerly to his own feet, hunching due to the knuckle-clenching ache in his bits, brandishing the knife underhand above the spider. Kingmaker scrambled toward the door on his back, his hands upraised and feet flailing like some huge dying insect. Lee stared down at him with grim judgment.
"You're not a killer, boy. Let's not pretend," sneered the gray man. He was out of breath. "Call your men off. They have standing orders to burn down your old hag's place with her and every one of her brats inside. Am I worth that much to you?" He was bluffing. He had to be. Lee leveled the knife. His hand trembled. "Call them off."
Someone threw his weight against the door and would have crashed right through it were it not for the spider hunched against the jamb. Kingmaker yelped. In the fraction of an instant before the door slammed shut, Lee saw a sliver of sandpaper's face, mashed and snarling. The door crashed open behind him as he hobbled up the stairs as quickly as his bruised bits would allow.
"Not me, you oaf! Get him!"
he heard the spider shout as he shouldered through the door and bolted down the aisle. Hoarse animal snarling rose from the pit. Lee's stomach knotted as he peered over the side. Haytham was in a bad way. Randall had taken his sword, and his cloak was in bloody tatters. Randall had backed him up against the parapet. As Lee watched, Haytham roared and charged. Almost lazily, the sellsword kicked him in the gut and knocked him on his back. He twirled the short sword with practiced ease as he advanced on his quarry. Lee swore under his breath and backed up three steps along the aisle. The door burst open behind him, and sandpaper charged down the ramp with only slightly more caution than the last time. Lee was already running. He threw himself headlong over the railing ahead of the sellsword's grasping hands and angled his fall toward the Qadari. He very nearly skewered himself as Randall raised his sword for the killing blow. His skull knocked against the cell swords, and both of them went sprawling in a tangle of arms and legs. Lee's head bounced against the dirt, and the world splintered into pieces. He lay there groaning for some time. Dimly, he saw that Randall had climbed to his feet, albeit shakily. Haytham had his back to the parapet, his face wreathed in shadows from the torch guttering above his head. The other sellswords had converged around him, one inside the ring, the other outside. Nowhere to run. Lee still had his knife. He dragged himself to his feet and plucked his wet cloak off the floor. His vision swam, but he kept his feet. He caught Haytham's eye. The brawler shook his head. Lee didn't move. "Lee, run!" Lee didn't move. Haytham squatted down, the way he did before a fight. "Run!" he bellowed as the mercenaries moved in on him. The brawler's roar spurred him. Lee ran, hating himself for it. The last thing he saw before he vaulted over the parapet was the brawler jumping up and catching the torch bracket with one hand and clawing for the edge of the second tier with the other. He kicked the sword out of Sandpaper's hand as he tried to clamber over the railing. Lee shouldered through the door and staggered outside. It was still raining. He'd slipped his arms into the cloak, which was now scratchy with grit. His eyes stung. "Come on, Haytham," he muttered between his teeth as he stumbled away from the warehouse. He saw the gray man's carriage squatting under a nearby eave. There was no driver. He glanced over his shoulder at the warehouse, hunting for any sign of the brawler in the grimy windows of the upper levels, but there was nothing. He felt sick. "Come on." He drew his knife as he stumbled over to the carriage. The horse flicked an ear in his direction, but didn't look. Lee grit his teeth, raised the knife high, and slapped the flat of the blade as hard as he could against the horse's flank. The carriage took off like an arrow, scraping against the wall of a nearby building as it rounded the corner and momentarily bounced up onto two wheels before it clattered out of sight. Lee's momentary smile died on his face. Tucked behind the carriage, and now with only 10 feet of empty air between them, a leveled crossbow in his hands, stood the spider.
"I really wish you hadn't done that," sighed the gray man above the steel-tipped quarrel.
Lee gingerly slipped the knife into his waistband and raised his hands above his head.
"You're not a killer, Brayden," he murmured, remembering the spider's own words. "Randall isn't here to do it for you. There's a big difference when you have to do it yourself, isn't there?"
He took a step toward him. Kingmaker jabbed the crossbow at him.
"Stay back. You have no idea what I've done. How many bodies I've had to climb over."
"That was a long time ago," he nodded, taking another step.
"Do you still have it in you? Are you man enough?"
The spider's jaw tightened, and Lee sprang at him the instant he squeezed the lever. He managed to swat the crossbow just out of true, and a window imploded behind him. Lee punched him in the nose and felt something crunch. They wrestled for the crossbow, Kingmaker raking Lee with his fingernails as the thief slammed him against the wall. Blood streamed from both the gray man's nostrils.
"Where do you think this ends, boy?"
he snarled, spitting blood.
"There's no way you can go. I won't find you."
A window on the second tier exploded in a spray of glass as someone crashed through it, landing in a heap on the street. The spider looked. Lee shoved him hard and sent him sprawling in the gutter. Lightning flashed, and the brawler's name was swallowed by the bone-rattling boom as the thief ran into the street and crouched beside his friend. He was still conscious. Haytham groaned and rolled onto his side. He was bleeding from a dozen cuts, and his cloak sparkled with bits of broken glass.
"Let's go," Lee urged him.
They could lose the sellswords in the alleys. He glanced back at the warehouse and thought he saw a figure standing in the broken window. He almost buckled when the brawler gave him his weight. He dug his shoulder into Haytham's armpit, and they limped as one man into the rain-choked dark. The gray man was soaked to the bones and shivering when they found him. At a word from Randall, Gerald went down into the storeroom to look for something dry while Haymus slipped down to recover the carriage. Kingmaker leaned on his shoulder as Randall led him up the stairs, but stopped short of allowing the sellsword to help him out of his wet silks.
"I'm fine. I said I'm fine," he snapped as he stripped down to his small clothes without a hint of shame. "I don't need you clucking over me. Should I go after them?"
The sellsword murmured once his master was wrapped in old banners from past fights, as Gerald built a fire in one of the hearths on the top tier. Haymus hadn't come back.
"They won't be moving fast."
The gray man sniffed. His mustachio was stained scarlet.
in the morning, and lie low until then. When Hamus comes back, have my carriage made ready. If Hatham gets himself seen before you can find him, I want to be ready to fly at a moment's notice."
Randall nodded. Once the fire was crackling, he relieved Gerald and told him to go tend to his face. The Reaper had broken his nose and knocked out 3 of his teeth. He stood at the edge of the top tier, studying the limp banners hanging from the balconies in the dim light from the one torch still guttering in the pit. For over half his life, he'd served the Halfpenny Spider right here at the edge, but it had never been his home.
Neither was Kadar. Not anymore. His home was right there at his master's side, standing between Brayden Kingmaker and whoever meant him harm.
Thank you guys so much for listening. It really is a privilege to be able to share this whole story with you, and a special thank you if you have been following this story since the beginning. As always, it is a huge help if you leave a like or a comment on the video, or if you're listening on podcast, you can do me a favor by leaving a 5-star review. All right, that is enough out of me. I will catch you next week. Same time, same place. I'll see you then.